Perhaps you may remember that beautiful play that came out many years ago called Fiddler on the Roof. And there was a scene in there in which it's speaking about these Jews in Russia, explaining about their traditions. And Tevye, who was the elder of his village, was speaking to his children about why we do the things we do. His one daughter was asking, like, why do we have to have arranged marriages? Where did this all come about? And he says, everything we do is a tradition. We have a tradition the way we dress. We have a tradition the way we prepare to eat. We have a tradition in which we marry. If you ask me why, I'll tell you. I do not know why. The reason is tradition. Well, this is what we see a little bit understanding today about the context of what's happening in the liturgy of the word. Because there's something that is different and wonderful about our Catholic faith. We know the reason why we live and do and be who we are. St. Peter says in his letter, be prepared to give the reasons for which you believe. So let's go back in time and go here to the first reading and reading about these lepers. It says in the first readings here about this law about a leper. A leper, when someone contracted this disease, they had to be removed from that place where everybody dwelled. And they had to live in a colony set apart. And so that they did not contaminate anyone who's coming close, they had to ring a bell whenever they were approaching any public places. Ring a bell and cry out, leper, leper. So all could be aware and take distance. What were the origins for this? Well, the origins for this was not something liturgical. It began as something which is basically necessary for public health. In order not to spread this contagious disease, right? They didn't know that it could be claimed just if you just wash your hands, it's not going to be contaminate you. They separated the people. But soon, as many things, we lose the reason why we did that. And it became then understood by the people that this was a curse. And if it was a curse, it must be because they were sinners. And so they began to mix something which began first, which was out of charity, right, to all of a sudden now become something which was condemnation. And so leprosy was considered as an outcast, one punished by God, and one in whom, if you're in contact with them, you then would contract that same sinfulness. Interesting that someone who was clean and came in contact with someone's unclean, the unclean was the trump card. So the unclean person would always give you the sinfulness. And here referring to not the disease, but the idea of sin. So we see here this understanding where people, generations now coming in the time of Jesus, understanding, treating lepers as if it was a disease which we need to set apart. And mixing that with the idea of our faith, right? There are the unclean and the clean. And this is how we understand in the time of Jesus why we see this great distinction among the Pharisees about those that were sinners and those that were righteous. Like when Jesus went and ate at the house of tax collectors. Why was that so bad? Because, as you understand, in their mind, the unclean contaminates. It's the trump card. And what was important about being clean? In order to be clean was the only way that you could enter into the temple. And the temple was the only place of worship. You couldn't go down the street to your local synagogue. Synagogue was not a place of worship. In fact, synagogues were more kind of like what we consider nowadays, like the YMCA. It was a place where you could go and socialize, but it's not a place of worship. Worship was done in the one place. Every year, people would have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, And that was the one place you could worship. You could share things about what's going on with the law, discuss things about traditions in the synagogue, but it was not a place of worship. So, if you were unclean and sin was in you, you could not enter to the temple. You would miss what it would be to be able to enter into communion with God. So it was a huge scar placed on anyone who is considered unclean. And therefore, people wouldn't be in contact with sinners or wouldn't be in contact with lepers. Now we see something that's interesting here. We see now in the gospel something wonderful that's happening. The first thing we see here is a leper approaches Jesus, right? And as he's approaching, he's crying out, "Leper! Leper! Ring the bell!" But at the same time, crying out to Jesus, whom he's heard, can take away the sins of the world. He has opened up the eyes of the blind. He's cured the deaf. Again, the concept that was understood by the Jews was disease was a sign of sin. Incidentally, that's quite interesting for us to hold on to. Because quite often in our modern day, we're so concerned about our health, but we're not concerned about the disease of our heart. Sin. Imagine if we put the same restrictions, you know, on our heart as we do on our bodies for health. Imagine we said there's a global pandemic of sin and we need to purify ourselves, right? Put on the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation, the works of charity, the works of penance, the works of fasting and prayer to keep ourselves whole. When we see this approach, and he's crying out to Jesus and saying, "Unclean, unclean," and he cries out to Jesus to cure him. Here we see something that perhaps you may miss in the context here. What does Jesus do? Jesus goes to the leper and he touches him. Now we may assume, well, Jesus all the time is touching people, right? Well, first thing is, remember we said about the concept of the trump card? Unclean always trumps. So why would Jesus touch him? Did Jesus not cure people from a distance? Jesus multiplied the bread. He didn't go to every single person come close by. To the centurion who said, my slave is sick, Jesus said, he will be healed. And in many occasions, Jesus did not have to go to a person. From a distance, even the demoniac, Jesus cast out the demon. And yet Jesus wants to touch our sins. Now what happens if we said Jesus touches our sins? Well, and the mindset is you take on the sinfulness. You're contaminated. And this is why it's important to see what continues on in this passage here. Jesus tells the leper after he cleans him, touching him, taking on the sin of the leper, he tells the leper, now go to the priest and show yourself. Why? Because, as we said, the only way you can worship is at the temple. And this leper, for years, has been separated from the place of communion with God. Now he can rightfully go and worship. Placing himself before the priest, he shows himself clean and can enter into communion again with God. God took his sins upon him and made him clean now to enter into communion with God. But let's go on and see what happens. Jesus tells the leper, do not tell anyone what has happened. And what happens? The leper tells everyone. Now, this is a part perhaps where you don't realize how subtle it is. Remember, we said that the leper could not enter into communion with people because he had to cry out, unclean, unclean, right? And when he cried out, unclean, unclean, people would move away from him, right? They would shun him. What happens to Jesus now? Read on in the text. It says that Jesus, because the word had spread, could no longer enter into any of the towns. Now we start seeing what is behind all this. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He bears his sins in his own self, our sins, and he takes our judgment upon himself. Jesus now becomes the outcast. Jesus becomes the one who cannot open enterly into the city, sir. He is the one who touches our sinfulness and takes it upon himself so that we may be clean and we may enter into communion with God. This is to help us to understand that beautiful gift we have every time we go to the sacrament of confession. We are carrying that uncleanliness. We cannot enter into communion with God rightfully. But when we come with him, he enters into our own sinfulness. He touches us, takes that sinfulness upon himself, and makes himself that judgment upon himself, so that I may be found worthy and righteous in the presence of the Father and can enter into full communion. So this helps us to understand as we're doing this passage here, to see the beautiful gift as we're entering now into this Lenten season and why it's so important for us to recognize, to allow our hearts to be made pure and whole, making our good confession. Don't forget, Ash Wednesday falls on Valentine's Day, right? But what better way to be God's sweetheart, right? By letting him have your heart fully in a good sacramental confession. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.